Two-thirds of you, shame on you. Shame on you. The whole family's hanging out, and you want to sit in your chair and look at your phone. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Okay, I got that out of my system. I feel better. How about you? All right. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here. So good to see you all, even if I have to get up and walk around because you don't. But it's good to see you all anyway. We are glad you are here with us. We're in the second week of a series called Gifted, Called, and Empowered. We're venturing into the realm of spiritual gifts, talking about that. I actually don't think we've ever done a whole series on this specific topic. We've incorporated it into a lot of different teachings that we've done, but we've never really done it specifically on spiritual gifts and just dedicated a whole series to it. So this is going to run for 6 weeks. And we're going through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, even though today I'm probably not going to touch on any verse in those three chapters. But it's based on that, okay? So whatever that means, right? We want to begin Tom taught last week on just an overview of spiritual gifts, what they look like, what the purpose is. He went through three different lists of spiritual gifts that are in the Bible and just explained the way that we can position ourselves to really be part of what God is doing through spiritual gifts. And so that was a good foundation. We're just going to keep building on that throughout the rest of the series. I think one of the most important parts of this series is that you must understand that God is a giver. Okay, if we don't get that God is a giver, that's a lot of G's, that was quite an alliteration there. If we don't get that God is a giver, then we're going to be missing the whole picture of what spiritual gifts are about. Because we can start looking at them like they're about us. And spiritual gifts are really not about us at all. They're completely about Him. And they're all about doing what He wants us to do for the good of His bride, the church. And so if we understand spiritual gifts from that perspective, we get a lot out of this. If we don't, we're going to be navel-gazing about spiritual gifts. Navel-gazing, I don't know what that would be, but it has something to do with. So anyway, I like it. So if we start navel-gazing, I don't know why that's so hard. I don't know. I'll just move on and just say if we get introspective, then that's going to be something that we'll get very minimal value out of when we start talking about spiritual gifts. If it's about us, we minimize what God wants to do in not just in us, but through us and around us. And we don't want to do that because spiritual gifts are an amazing gift that He has given for the church to be built up. And if we don't take them for their full value, we start looking at them like, what do I have? What's my gift? And when we give gifts to people, and you can think of any gift-giving occasion, is Super Sunday a gift-giving occasion at all? Do we ever do that? It will be very soon, probably. You know, marketing masters will come out and say, you got to buy this and that. Anyway, think of any gift-giving occasion and think about the dynamics of that occasion. When we give a gift, we let that gift go out of our possession and we place it in the hands of somebody else. What is our sense as the giver? What are we looking for? We're looking for joy, like, I hope they love this thing that I just did. I hope they just go for it, and I hope it's maybe useful. Sometimes it's totally frivolous, but sometimes it's actually useful, and this can be really, really fun. And we're thinking, man, I hope they just really appreciate. I put a lot of thought and care, and I made this gift about their, you know, what they like, and hopefully it's all about them. And as a giver, that's the way we think, and God is no different whatsoever from that. God puts so much into the thought of what gift fits with that person. And He gives gifts based on who we are, how He's designed us, all of the different parts of us that He knows everything about, and He intimately knows what we need and what we would be best at, and He gifts stuff to us for the good of not just us, but the good of the church. And as the recipient, how do you feel about gifts. When you get the gift, a lot of times, you know, you get a gift and you think, that's interesting. Anybody ever gotten gifts like that? It's like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. But when somebody really does a good job with gifts and they really peg it, I mean, just nail it, and they say, oh, you really know me. This gift is such a great fit with me. I love what you did. And I can think of numbers of gifts that people have given over the years to me, and I think, oh, that is so perfect. I love this gift. And that is the way spiritual gifts are with us. When God gives gifts, that's the way we should look at it. It's like, really? That's my gift? Sometimes we like, I don't know if that's me or not. In fact, we go, oh, I don't want that to be me. But God says, no, that fits with you. Such a great fit. I know you. I designed you. I created you. I blasted this out for you. It's all about you. And we should just like, okay, here we go then. Let's do this. And sometimes we have to kind of grow into those things. But sometimes it's like, whoa, who could have mastered that so well? Why does this fit with me so well? And at the time, we may not see it, but over the years, we start seeing the way that God interweaves the gift with who he's created us to be, and we see this perfect fit. Ultimately, we have to realize, though, that God is just the ultimate gift giver. And if we go, and not just in the realm of spiritual gifts, but if we go all the way back to throughout history, we see God giving gifts to people. God giving gifts. He gave gifts to whole groups of people. He gave, David mentioned it when he was doing communion, the gift of freedom, the gift of safety and security to the people of Israel as he got them freed out of the bondage in Israel. We see gifts given over the course of time. We see that God, well, let's read this in James. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. If you want to know the perfect gift giver, it is God. He knows, he sees, he gives according to all of that. And he says, I'm going to gift you with the most perfect fit. And he is the best giver ever. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It's not of your own doing. It is what? It's the gift of God. God gifts us his grace. He gifts us this grace that frees us from the bondage of sin, from the shame and all of that that comes along with it. We're freed from that, just not because we're such great people, but because he knows we're not such great people, and the only thing that could free us would be his grace. And he gifts that to us. And what do you pay for a gift as a recipient? Free, right? We are gifted grace. God's the greatest gift giver ever. In John chapter 4, we won't read that here, but there's a woman that Jesus meets. She's from a place that he probably, other people would have said he shouldn't even have been there, but he's at the well with a Samaritan woman, and he says to her, she says, hey, can I get you some water, or can you get me some water? And he says, you know, woman, if you knew the gift of God in front of you, you would ask me for water that would last you for eternity. The gift of God, Jesus himself being right there. God has given us the gift himself. It's the best gift. It's the best gift giver. God is just over and over again giving gifts because he is a gift giver. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Because only the gift could free us. Only the gift is what we need. We couldn't have done it any other way. We couldn't have said, well, okay, well, I'll just strive and work and push and stress and I'll try to make good and see what I can do. He said, no, now I'm going to give you a gift. It's free and it fits perfectly with you. And I'm going to give you this gift. It's called Jesus. And Jesus is going to come and he's going to save you. He's going to bring you back into relationship with me. Now you can become sons and daughters of the Most High God, your Father in heaven, adopted as sons and daughters because of the gift that God gave. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we sometimes stop way too soon in this, but it says,
And we are justified by what? The grace as a gift. Grace as a gift. God, again, giving this wonderful gift that only God could give, the best gift that we could possibly receive. God gives grace. That gift of grace comes to us. So if God is a good giver, which hopefully we're all convinced of by now, we have to look at this gift of spiritual gifts that he gives and say, what about those? How do those fit? Why is he giving those? What's the point of them? What's the purpose of spiritual gifts? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we see God is giving again. It says, and he gave, God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. We see this is one of several chunks of scripture that talk about specific spiritual gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It says he gave those gifts for the building up. Those are gifts. Sometimes they don't seem like it, but they're gifts. And he says he gave those gifts for the building up, for the equipping of the church, so the church can be growing and vibrant and alive and fulfilling the mission for which it was called. He says this gift of this leadership gifting that goes into the church is so that the church can do everything I've designed it to do. God, again, giving gifts, and those gifts accomplish his purpose. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, it says, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. If we have these spiritual gifts, if we have gifts that are given to us, and this is at the end of a long section of scripture that we'll dive into in the next few weeks, talking about these specifically the nine, what we would call sign gifts, or some would call them power gifts. I think that's all goofy. They're just gifts. They're all gifts. But it's at the end of this long section of gifts, and he says, if then you have these gifts, strive to cause these gifts to come into play so that the church is built up. We want to build the church with the gifts. It's not about who's got the coolest gift. Now, the church at Corinth was a mess. He wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, and it was a messy, messy place. They had long history of paganism. They had all kinds of gods that they worshipped, and it was the home center point for worship of the goddess Venus, and all kinds of weird stuff would go on there, and they had just mixed this paganism with Christian belief, and they had people rising up saying, man, I got really awesome gifts, and they had legitimate gifts, but then they would also just kind of mix that with some of the paganism, and there was some really goofy stuff going on. And in the process, the church was being like, what the heck is going on? This is so strange. This is the weirdest thing. It doesn't feel like anything good is happening out of this. He said, if you have gifts, the manifestation of those gifts should be for the building up of the church. It should always be for the building up of the church. It's not so that someone can rise up and say, I got massive gifts in my life. I'm pretty impressive, eh? Yeah? Not bad, eh? You like what you're seeing? I'll be here all week. You know, that kind of stuff. It's not like that. It's this idea is that we have these gifts so that the church can be encouraged and lifted and built, strengthened, matured. And hopefully, in all of this talk of spiritual gifts that we're going to be dealing with here, that we get that through everything we say, that it's all about building up the church. It's not about us building up our gift. It's not about us grooming our gift for the purpose of me having a cool gift, or grooming our gift so that we can have some massive impact on lives of people, only to the degree that it builds the church. That's the most important part of this. So, a few things we need to keep in mind when we talk about spiritual gifts is that gifts can vary in strength, okay? So say you have the gift of, let's just pick hospitality, okay? So you have this gift of hospitality. And if you have the gift of hospitality, it can vary in strength. Some people are hospitable on a personal level and so warm and welcoming to be able to maybe have a person out for coffee or a family over for dinner. And then it just kind of, that's about as much as it gets to. Some people, though, have this more corporate mentality. They can blend this gift of hospitality in with, man, what we ought to do is we could get 600 people here and we're just going to love on them and we're going to just do so well with that. There's a more massively strengthened gift. It doesn't make it more important. It just means there's a different scope and scale. All right? So you can have the gift of encouragement, which is a totally legit and awesome gift. And you could be really, really encouraging in a one-to-one level, right? And affect people's lives and spot people when they're, you know, needing some encouragement. And you get into their lives and you say, man, I love you. You're doing so great. Keep it up. You're okay. You're going to make it. And or you could do that on a more massive scale as well. It doesn't matter. It's just there's these differing levels of strength or capacity, I suppose. Another thing you need to keep in mind is that gifts can and should be developed. Nobody comes fully formed in the gifting that God gives. Nobody is like comes out just like, okay, I got it, I'm perfect in this gift. It doesn't happen that way. And most people start out stumbling. And a lot of times there's a lot of questions and even death of a vision that happens like, I stink at this. I'm terrible at this. I've heard that this is really hard for me, but I've heard that the first 300 sermons you preach ought to just thrown away because they're horrible. Like, it's like 6 years of full-time preaching out the window, right? I'm on number 286. How am I doing? Sorry, I asked for that. Now, this is a rough crowd. I should never ask for that. Another thing that needs to be kept in mind is that gifts are tools for ministry and not necessarily related to Christian maturity. All right? You don't get a gift when you reach a level of maturity. Oh, finally, I've arrived. I received the gift. Boom. It doesn't happen like that. We get gifts based on God's choosing. And God gives gifts to babies, and he gives gifts to fully mature. And all the way along the line. And all these gifts, they're just gifts. It's not like we've earned it. And sometimes we think we would get to the point of, well, I'm pretty mature. I'm sure God's going to give me an awesome gift now. Probably not. Maybe humility. But I don't. You need that one. But there's this idea sometimes that once I get there, God's going to so gift me. It's a gift. Have you ever given somebody a gift that they don't deserve? Yeah. Giving gifts, people, it's like, man, you stink as a person, but here, I'll give you this gift. Anyway, you're a baby, but I'll give you a gift. Well, now we wouldn't give the car keys to a six-year-old, but understand that it doesn't really matter in God's economy. It's not like, once you arrive. No. All right. So what is the big deal about spiritual gifts? I found this great quote from a guy named Sam Storms, wrote a book called The Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts. It says this, spiritual gifts are nothing less than God himself in us, energizing our souls, imparting revelation to our minds, infusing power in our wills, and working his sovereign and gracious purposes through us. Spiritual gifts must never be viewed deistically as if God out there has sent something to us down here. Spiritual gifts are God present in, with, and through human thought, human deeds, human words, and human love. Isn't that amazing? Spiritual gifts are God in you doing stuff that he wants to accomplish through you into the lives of other people. And that's how we need to view them. We need to view them outside of this realm of, what do I get? How am I going to look at this? And how am I going to carry out my stuff? And how powerful am I going to be? And I don't like my gift. Can I have another? It's like, this is God giving gifts to you because he's infusing you with himself. And that's a wonderful, amazing revelation for us. In Romans 1:11, we'll spend a little bit of time on this one. Romans 1:11 says this. This is Paul talking to a group of dear people to him. The church in Rome was very, very important to him. It was you know, the epicenter of the kingdom of the Roman Empire at the time, of course. But more than that, he had deep ties to these people. And he was talking to them about his feelings for them. He says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, Paul isn't saying, I'm going to impart to you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift and then you'll have the gift. He's saying, I want to impart to you something out of my gifting. He knew. He said, I know who I am in Christ and I know my gifts. And out of my gift, I'm going to impart to you something of high value that's going to strengthen you and build you up. And this heart is the heart that all of us should be having when we look at the idea of, what's my gift? How do I use my gift? What's my gift for? I'm looking around to say, how can my gift strengthen somebody else? How is that going to happen? All right? As we look at how he did that in his life, you can just see there's this life of sacrifice poured out into other people, and he lived his whole life that's recorded in the New Testament is a life just giving of his gifts. Now, he was a phenomenal, exceptional, beyond compare kind of guy, but the heart behind it was just, I'm just here to strengthen you with my gift, right? He wants to benefit, he wants them to benefit from the gifts. Now, we get all hung up on, what's my gift? Can you name my gift? Can I do? And we did a gifted core class last Sunday night, and if you missed that, it's okay, I guess. But we talked about this thing about, you know, maybe we'll do some spiritual gifts assessment tests, and we get really hung up on that stuff. What's my gift? What's my gift? And we try to define it, you know, and, well, there's 29 gifts in the Bible. No, there's a list of 35. No, there's 62. And it's like, I don't know how many gifts there are, and I don't even know if it matters sometimes because we get all hung up on it. It's like, I want to name it. I want to define it, and I want to label it, and then that's me. And it's like, well, I don't know if that's the biggest deal out there. I think the biggest deal is that we really understand that God wants to utilize everything that he's put into our lives for the good of his kingdom, and we do whatever it takes to see that happen, to see that come out of us. So if we spend too much time trying to name it, I think we get really distracted from the main purpose of it. I think a more basic problem we have besides not knowing what our gift is not desiring very much to strengthen other people's faith. And that's really the crux of the matter. When Paul says that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Here's a question for all of us. Did you wake up this morning thinking, I think I'll go to church because I want to strengthen the people around me? Hopefully, that's what's going on in our minds. Now, for sure, we come here for some selfish benefit, absolutely. But do we wake up thinking, well, maybe not wake up because you're probably delirious, but maybe after a little bit, once the caffeine strikes home, then do you get these thoughts that say, I wonder how God's going to use me to strengthen somebody else? What's God going to do around me that needs my gift where I can impart to somebody some strength from what he's given to me? I think that's a really big question, and it's a more important question than what is my gift. What your gift is really irrelevant if you're not using it to strengthen somebody else. It doesn't really matter what you're doing or what you have because you're not using it for the purpose it was intended anyway. That sounds so harsh. When I listen to myself, I think, man, you're a mean person. And I'm really not. I'm not that mean. I'm intense, but not mean. But I'm just saying, if we're really passionate to utilize every bit of what God has for us, it has to be focused outward. It cannot be focused at us, saying, well, I'm just developing my gift. I'm getting so much better. I'm so much more bold. I'm pretty strong in this gifting. I'm going to be a mountain of a man in this gift. It's awesome. Like, if you're not using it to strengthen anybody, who cares? What's the point? What are you doing that for? That's a waste of space. See, doesn't that sound harsh? Dang. I just hate myself. I need the gift of encouragement. Somebody, please, come on. Oh. If I have to ask, it doesn't count. So,
This is really a rowdy crowd today.
So number one, we need to seek to desire to strengthen the faith of others, right? We need to do that. Now, in verse 11, he says this other thing. He says, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So, secondly, the first one is seek to desire to strengthen faith in others. The second one is seek to encourage others by your faith. Seek to encourage others. How many of you came here with that in mind this morning? Was that one of your big action points this morning? I'm going to come and I am going to encourage other people by my faith. It should be, right? When we come together, if you go to Hebrews chapter 10, right? It says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? But come together and provoke one another to love and good deeds. Provoke means encourage, to prompt. Prompt one another toward love and good deeds. By my faith, I can encourage you to do love and good works and be really, really good at it. And do I come prepared to do that every time we get together? Should. Too many times. I get it. Man, we're, you know, dragging people out of the house. Get in the car. Right away. Shut up. Get in the car. Worship Jesus. Get in the car. And you're in such a hurry. You know, your wife's not quite in the door yet. And you pull out and you leave her shoe in the driver's. Hey, my shoe. Get in the car. And we just got to just worship Jesus. Like, that's not on our minds a lot, but it should be. Right? We should wake up, have a little bit of time, a little space, little margins there in your life, and say, you know what? What is Jesus asking me to do today? Who am I going to be encouragement for today? How is God going to use my gifts today to build faith in somebody else? So we come in and we start looking, saying, God, where's my shot? Give me my shot. I want to get an opportunity to share my encouragement and my gift, encourage people, build them up. I want to see the body built up. See, this is the point of spiritual gifts. Whether they happen up here from the microphone or up here on the stage with all the instruments or out there in the lobby with people handing you a bulletin and making you a coffee and teaching kids in Sunday school, it doesn't really matter. It all does the same thing, hopefully, that everybody's using their gift to build one another up. So we look to strengthen and we look to encourage when we come together. Now, there's one other passage of around spiritual gifts that I want to talk about just for a little bit and then we'll be done. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and this is actually really one of my favorite passages of Scripture when it comes to spiritual gifts because it has such clarity in what it's all about. Okay, so in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, it says, the end of all things is at hand. Why does he preface that with that statement? It creates an urgency. There's something that says, guys, quit messing around. Quit wasting time. The end is at hand. Now, he wrote this 2,000 years ago, and his timetable, maybe he didn't get it. Maybe his clock is different than ours, but he gets the urgency here. Come on, the time is at hand. The end is near. We should have some sense of like, come on, we got to get serious about this stuff. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, if you just stopped it right there, that's a great place to start right there, all by itself. That would be enough. Say, hey man, get serious about this stuff and love one another. That'd be enough right there, wouldn't it? Like, okay, yeah, you're right. If we just acted in that little bit of truth, I believe the world would see a church that would be completely different than the one we see today. If we sense the urgency of the moment and we love one another deeply. Sobering thoughts. Verse 9. Show hospitality What? After that big crashing boom, hey man, love one another deeply. Show hospitality. He's not saying, hey, take somebody out to Starbucks. He's not saying that. This word hospitality really means entertain strangers. It means bring people into your home and entertain people that you don't know. Even entertain in the connotation of that, or the context of that verse, it really means entertain aliens. Now, I'm not talking about antennae and all that kind of stuff. I mean, people, immigrants, people you don't know, not comfortable with, different from you, entertain them, bring them in. Hospitality. In a more minor sense, but yet still important, would be love one another deeply and get together. Hang out. Do stuff. Have a meal. Sit around a table. Enjoy one another's company. Get to know one another deeply. Celebrate with one another. Love one another. Know one another. And then he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. He doesn't say if you've received a gift. He says as you've received a gift. And some of us are probably sitting in the room right now, not me. I'm like giftless. I got nothing. Look at me. I say, well, looking from the outside, I might agree with you, but that's not really the way God has sees you. He sees you as gifted. How many of you were in a tag group in school, you know, like talented and gifted group? You're legitimate, okay? You're so legit. Most of us are fakers, right? We're just like, gifted? Oh, sure, that's me. Yeah, look at me, I'm gifted. No. But Peter's assumption when he wrote this is not that, you know, some of you are exceptional people and you have gifts like amazing and you're in the tag class. It's like, no, you're not. But God has gifted you. And so you all are gifted people. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, because you're gifted, don't say if I have a gift or whatever. It is because you do have a gift and because you are a gifted person, we have to obey Scripture, and it says use it. Use it to serve one another. Use it. Use it. And this is where if we get too hung up on defining it and all that kind of stuff, we lose the whole, I don't know, importance of the, like, because it doesn't come back to, well, what is it? What is it? What is it? It's not that hard to figure out. You don't have to take a 110-question test to figure out what you're gifted at. You start moving in areas where God has just put a burden on your heart, and you say, man, this is so rewarding. I just feel so built up. I feel like I'm really making kingdom impact when I'm doing what I'm doing here. And it can be something that you might think, oh, that's so easy. Everybody does that. And I'll guarantee you, not everybody does that. I guarantee you. There are people who do stuff that are so basic to them and feeling like, oh, this is nothing. I'm not gifted. Baloney. Because there's 90% of the people around you can't do what you do. And you don't see it because it's so natural to you. God just does that through you. And you're like, really? That's not a gift. That's just kind of like, I'll just do that. No, you're gifted. It says use it. Use your gift. Be a good steward of that gift. Each of us is a steward of God's grace. Now, he paints this picture, and a steward in the days that this was written was essentially a manager of a household, a manager of that has been assigned responsibility for some area or some goods or something in a master's house, and he would just be a one who just takes care of, and manages and allocates and all of that so that everything just works and flows and everything stays the way it should be and things are getting done and the household is moving forward. And all of this happens because we have the mindset of a steward. And he says, you're a steward of a gift. You've been given this gift, you're the recipient, but you're also the steward of that gift. And your intent, or God's intention in giving you that gift was so that that gift could carry out its function. And it can't carry out its function if we don't manage our stuff well. If we bottle it up or we mismanage and get frivolous with it, what tends to happen is the gift doesn't get out of us and people aren't affected. And people aren't encouraged, people aren't strengthened, the church isn't built, the community doesn't see Jesus the way it should, and we're just kind of like nasal gaving. I said that intentionally that time. So if we understand that we are stewards of God's varied gifts, we start looking at how can I implement my gift? I need to put this gift out there somehow. I need to utilize. I need to put it into some kind of a situation where it can do some good. Because it doesn't do any good when it's in me. It doesn't have any effect on anybody. I don't strengthen. I don't encourage. I don't build. I got a gift. So what? Be a steward of that gift. Manage it well. Push it outside of you. Allocate your gift to the places where it needs to go. Is this too ethereal? Does this make sense? We have to get a little bit more out of the realm of, the clergy-laity mentality really stinks because it bottlenecks the church. The clergy-laity mentality that says, well, the preacher does all the stuff, and I come and I listen. Wrong place for that. Anyway, we've got to get away from that mindset because that has stagnated the church for hundreds of years. Ever since that whole mindset was instituted and we go into feudalism and all of that stuff in the dark ages, and it just tends to everything lands on the landlord or the feudal leader. Like, that's a pathetic misrepresentation of Scripture. Scripture only talks about the priesthood of the believers. It talks about all of us being kings and priests, not us being like spectators watching the superstar. Who's the superstar? It's not us. Gee, many Christmas. If we keep our eyes on this, we're going to be so diminutive compared to the huge stature that he wants us to have. See, we've got to get our eyes off of this and onto his bigger, grander plan. And so I'm looking at a whole room full of gifted people. And whether you know it or not, your gifts are meant to have huge impact in the kingdom of God. And as each one of us steps into the realm of implementation, stewarding God's gifts in the proper way, the church is built. So I come into church, you come into church thinking, what's God going to do today through me, right? You should come into church thinking that way. You should go out of church thinking that way. What's God going to do this week through me to build his kingdom? It's not about what's the pastor going to do this week? How's the worship team going to treat me today? It's not about that at all. It's about what's God doing in me that's going to build his kingdom and strengthen and encourage the people around. All of us are intended to be engaged at that level. Yeah. There's not a one of us that gets a pass. None of us. Because we're all gifted. Yeah. The talented and gifted class is huge in this church. It's just gargantuan, right? He gives a little bit more definition in 1 Peter. He says that these gifts, they're both word and deed oriented. Okay, so some people would think that, oh no, it's just this preaching thing and then maybe some music stuff. That's about all that really the gifted people do. No, gifts are given as some of them have a word orientation, like a spokenness to them, and some of them have a deed orientation. There's all kinds of lists in the Bible that include much of those, both of those, right? The gift of prophecy, encouragement, the gift of teaching, the gift, all those are spoken kind of word-oriented gifts. But there's also all kinds of gifts like administration, the gift of helps, the gift of service, the gift. All of those gifts are all deed orientation. So if you're a doer and not a talker, bonus, you're gifted. You have just been freed up to do everything that God has gifted you to do because that's perfect for you. It's a great fit. Don't feel guilty. Oh, I can't preach. I can't teach. I can't prophesy. I can't. Oh, no, I can't do anything. I'm not useful to the body of Christ. Stink on that idea. That's terrible. The proper theology of that is, well, I'm not really, you know, kind of a talker kind of person, but man, am I a doer. I love to just be active and engaged. I love to, you know, do stuff and build things. And okay, there's a great place for you in that, in the kingdom of God for that too, right? We all have a place in this. Too many times we relegate spiritual gifts to the upfront type stuff. No, I can't do that. I'd never do that. I'd wet my pants if I had to stand up in front of people and talk. I could never do that. Did I go too far on that one? So, almost. So, but I would love to, you know, come in and do some stuff around here like on a Tuesday morning when nobody's here. Like, that would be awesome. Okay. I'd love to go over to somebody's house and help them cut some firewood, or I'd love to go over and sit around with somebody in the hospital and just encourage them and cheer them up. Okay, let's do that. Those are all legitimate gifts. All of these things just play into the whole church being built up. And those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're spiritual gifts. Number four out of 1 Peter would be that everything we do happens for the glory of God. There's not one thing that comes back at us and says, man, that person's amazing. There's no intentionality toward building anybody up over another person. But this, everything points toward, isn't God phenomenal? He takes boneheads like us and he gives gifts so that people can just be themselves the way he's created them. And they do amazing stuff as they just operate in the gift that he's given. It's all for the glory of God. Isn't God good? Man, it's amazing. So, are you bored with your life? Are you bored with your Christianity? Has Christianity become routine? Kind of like mundane. It's by routine now. You just kind of do what you do. And I would venture to guess that if your Christianity is too mundane, then you have eliminated yourself from the flow of the gift that God has given to you. Because there is, when we're operating in our giftedness, it is not boring whatsoever. There's an electricity that happens when we're moving in our gift. There's something that God does in us, and he restores joy and hope, and he builds in us this sense of fullness in our life because we're serving in the capacity that he's created us to serve. And there's something about it. And you end up at the end of your time of serving, and you're exhausted and at the same time supercharged. Like, oh, this feels so good. Just great. And then you take a nap. It's just the way it is. You get adrenalinated, and it's just like, oh, this is awesome. And then you crash, and it's okay because that's the way our bodies are designed. So, Frank, why don't you come up wherever you are. Yeah, come on up. Here's a couple things, just takeaways for you, all right? Two things. Here's homework for you. One is, recognize, I'm not saying identify, but recognize your gift. That's all I'm saying. Just recognize your gift. Let's look around and say, what kind of things really charge me? What kind of things do I just get the sense that God's pleasure is going all through the stuff that I'm doing when I'm doing this? Recognize that. At the collision point of your passion and your joy is probably somewhere where you should be serving. Where your passion and joy collide. It's like, that's a sweet spot for you. And I would encourage you to recognize what that is for you. And you may be experiencing that outside of anything Christian whatsoever, outside the church, outside of, you know, fellowship, but you're recognizing that, man, this is what really gets me going. Well, maybe you're finding it. Maybe that's the right spot for you. Maybe that is the arena of your spiritual gift. When I do X, I'm supercharged. Well, that's probably a good indicator that that's an area of spiritual gifting. Number two is that we need to be looking for and calling out the giftedness in other people. Again, looking outside of ourselves to say, man, that person is so good at doing this. And I'm going to call them out on it. Say, man, you are amazing when you are doing that. You're phenomenal. And I want to paint a picture for them of hope for their lives, that God is doing something far beyond what they ever know. Too many times, we keep those kinds of words quiet and to ourselves. Like when we think, man, that was phenomenal. They just did such a great job. And we keep it to ourselves. When what people need is they need to be called out on it. Man, you're amazing. When you did that, I felt like God could do anything. That is the way we need to treat other people. So you recognize your own gifting and you call out the giftedness in other people. And I'm telling you, this idea of spiritual gifts will become so ingrained in what we do. And it becomes such a rich environment for growth and learning and nurturing. And it just becomes a powerful place where God can do all that he wants to do. And hopefully he can do that through us, right? Yeah. All right. Hey, let's stand up. Hey, can we do a different song? Well, I miss you. Amen. God's just so good, you know, that he would give us gifts like the ones he's given us, and just that we would be right in the middle, in the thick of what he wants to do by just being fully engaged in the gifts that he's given. So I beg is a strong word. I'll use a biblical word. I beseech you, brethren and sistren, explore this thing. Yeah. Explore it. Dive into, investigate. God, who am I? Who have you created me to be? Some of you know already. You know, some of you got monster gifts, and it's amazing, and I love it. And some of you are still on the beginning stages of that. It's like, who am I? What's God created me to do and be? Investigate. Move into that. And be everything that God wants you to be. God, fulfill the great calling he has on your life. Let's see the church built and God glorified in the whole thing, right? Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. You are such a great gift giver. We thank you for your gifts, Lord. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit in us, resident within us, clarifying and giving us power to do the things you've called us to do. And God, I pray that each one of us would recognize the things that you're doing in us and that you have done already. God, that we would move into those areas of gifting and we would utilize them to their fullest capacity so that your church would be built and so that you would be lifted up in this earth that we live in, Jesus. We praise you for that in your glorious name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.